The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace.
Faith is the brightest evidence of things beyond our sight. It pierces through the veil of sense and dwells in heavenly light. He sought a city fair and high, built by the eternal hands, and faith assures us, though we die, that every building stands.
I look forward to hearing from you that listen to this program, and certainly am encouraged when you tell me that the messages have been a blessing to you. Maybe some of you have been listening for a while and never have written. I encourage you to do that. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. And I remind you that you can hear the broadcast at any time at our website, baptistbiblehour.org. We know that it's by faith that we are justified. Faith is the gift of God. It is an evidence that one belongs to God. It's something that is a vital part of the Christian's life, not just in that initial experience of grace, but throughout life. Paul spoke once of visiting the church that he might add to their faith things that were lacking. So it indeed is possible for faith to grow, and we often have to pray like the man who came to Jesus asking that he would deliver his son from evil spirits. He said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." There are many uncertainties in life. Sometimes you'll hear a person say, "I just wish I knew what God has in store for me," or "I wish I knew exactly what God wants me to do with my life." So the fact that there are uncertainties brings us to the realization that faith must be a vital part of our life. But faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is not just hoping that things are going to go well. Faith is based on fact, on the truth that God makes known to us. I want to read Hebrews chapter 11 and the 8th verse. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went." This 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, as you know, is often designated the chapter of faith. Lists numerous individuals who walked by faith and how God blessed them in their travels. Abraham was brought up in a land of idolatry. He was not taught from childhood about the true and living God, but God visited him, called him to go out to a place that he would receive as an inheritance, and by faith Abraham obeyed, went out not knowing whither he went. Our subject, living by faith. First of all, we think about the uncertainties of life. When a person says, There's so much uncertainty in my life. I just wish that I knew what God has in store for me. Indicates how that is often a struggle. No doubt is with all of us at one time or another. Because life is full of uncertainties. Turn to the book of Job. Read in the 14th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like the flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. So man is a few days. Oh, there may be times that you're waiting on a particular event and it seems that time is moving slowly. But in reality, the time that we're here is indeed brief. A few days. Comes like a flower that is blooming and soon it is cut down. Like a shadow that appears for a moment and soon it vanishes away. And so during that short stay, when he says that life is full of trouble, and surely we can testify to that, that there are many kinds of troubles that plague us along the journey of life. We're seeing the reality acknowledged in Scripture that there are uncertainties. Life is full of uncertainties. There are uncertainties in many areas of life, and we all face them to some degree. Young person growing up begins to look ahead and tries to decide, what kind of an education do I need? What kind of a career do I want to pursue? What kind of a job do I want to have? The question comes up about marriage. And often we talk to young people who are perplexed because they haven't been able to find the right person. They would like to be married, but so far things have not developed in that direction, and so there's a lot of uncertainty. And then after the person finally has pursued their education and embarked upon their career and has a job, after a time, life rushing by, you reach the age of retirement, and then there are other questions that come into play. There's failing health and the difficulties of old age. And so in all of these areas, you don't have a clear-cut map laid out and say, this is what's going to happen at this given time. Sudden sickness comes, loss of a job, loss of family members. And some people are constantly living with the speculations of the what-ifs. Well, what if I lose my job? What if the stock market crashes and I lose my retirement? What if my husband or my wife should die? What if, what if, what if? You can go on with that till you can work up a case to be full of anxiety on an ongoing basis. Well, sometimes there are uncertainties, not just because of the normal unfolding of life's experiences, but because of God's call. That was the case with Abraham. Abraham faced some unique circumstances because his life was forever changed when God called him. So, having looked briefly at the uncertainties of life, let's consider the comfort of trusting. The comfort of trusting God in the midst of those trials and adversities that are sure to come. Anytime we think about somebody going through great trials and great difficulties, we can't help but think about Job, a man who suffered to a tremendous degree. So we look at the book of Job, chapter 23. Job chapter 23 and the 8th verse. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Now get this. But He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job is perplexed. He believes in God. He recognized God's hand in his adversity. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But now he wants to commune with God. He wants to have a close walk and fellowship with him. But he says, I go forward, I go backward, but I can't find him. I go to the left hand, but it doesn't seem that he's working there. I'm not able to behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand. I cannot see him. Have you ever been there? Many of the psalmists express that kind of an experience. When they prayed, hide not thy face from me. Lord, forsake me not. Is thy mercy clean gone forever? In some of the darkest hours that we experience, we can indeed be at that low place. Say, Lord, I cry and shout, but it seems that you shut out my prayer. I come before you on a daily basis. I pour out my heart. I let you know my weakness. I confess my unworthiness. I admit my sin. I'm asking for your help, but it seems that you just don't hear. But even when Job experienced that, he didn't give up in despair. For he said, he knoweth the way I take. In spite of the fact that I'm not able to have the comfort of his presence right now, I know he's still watching over me. I know that he's still in charge. And he saw an ultimate outcome that was positive. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The dross has to be consumed. The affliction has to run its course. God's purpose has to be fulfilled. But the ultimate end of affliction in the life of the child of God is not to destroy him, but to bring him forth as gold, to bring him to a place of greater usefulness in God's service. So there is comfort. When we talk about living by faith, there is comfort in trusting. Comfort to know that he knows. And there is comfort to know what he has promised. Just as he made that promise to Israel in olden times, and I believe we as part of spiritual Israel can claim it as ours today. Spurgeon used to say, every text of the Bible is not to us, but it's for us. And so if we can claim it in the right manner, there is consolation that we can yet draw from it today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, what more could we ask? The Lord says, I will never leave thee. And sometimes in our struggles we say, but Lord, I feel like you have. I read your word and you say you won't. And I certainly don't want to call God a liar. It's impossible for God to lie, Paul tells us. We know that God is truthful. We can rely on his word. So when he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, we have to conclude that even though we don't feel his presence at the moment, even though we don't feel his comfort, he's still there because he said he would be. Therefore, we can be bold and say, the Lord is my helper. What better condition could you occupy than to be able to say, the Lord is my helper? It's nice to have friends who help you. It's nice to have family members that stand by your side and you can always rely on them and they're your helper, but their help is limited. But God's is not. The Lord is my helper, and consequently, I won't have to fear what man shall do unto me. There's comfort in relying then on his word, knowing what he has promised. I find over and over again, promises that I know by memory. I can quote them easily, and sometimes I do if my Bible is not accessible. But when I'm near my Bible, I like to open it up and read it again. and say, Lord, I'm looking at your word. Here's what you promised, and I'm depending on your word, what you have said. That's living by faith. It's not a leap in the dark. That's not just saying, I hope things are going to get better. I hope things are going to work out. That means I'm relying on what God said. That's what Abraham did, according to our text. He responded to God's word, not on what others might have said. If he revealed this to any of his family members and said, I'm planning on leaving. And he was already a prosperous man, and that probably they didn't pack overnight. I'm sure it took time to get all that entourage gathered up and make plan about how they were going to travel and the animals that were going to be taken along with them. So if he had conversation with anybody and said, I'm getting ready to leave, I can just imagine somebody saying, Abraham, you have lost your mind. What's the matter with you anyway? Why would you leave here? You're a prosperous man. Things are going well for you. And his answer would have had to be, well, God called me to leave. And of course, living among a bunch of pagans, they wouldn't have understood that at all. But God had called him, and he was ready to go wherever, even though he didn't know where that was going to be at the moment, he was ready to go wherever God would direct him. Faith not only will give you comfort as you rely on God's promises, it will move you to obey. And that's exactly the case with Abraham. Abraham didn't just take consolation that I've heard from God. God has spoken unto me. But he got busy doing what God told him to do. To be ready to leave and to move on to another place. Back to Hebrews chapter 11 once again. After our text where it says that Abraham was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive an inheritance, verse 9 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He never came into full possession of everything that God promised to give him. He didn't have a permanent place. He was a dweller in tents. But he was obeying. He was willing to give up something. He gave up the comforts of home. He gave up the connections of family members. Some, of course, went with him, but others did not. He turned his back on it all. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now that had to be tremendously perplexing to Abraham. It had to wait after God gave the promise that he and Sarah would have a child in their old age. Both of them passed the age that it could be expected that a child would be born. And finally, after waiting 25 years for the promise to be fulfilled, Isaac was born. Then when Isaac was just a young lad, the Lord says, take him up on the mountain and offer him on the altar. Can you imagine the pain of that? But when Abraham demonstrated that he was willing to obey God, the Lord caught his hand and said, see, there's a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And that ram was put on the altar in Isaac's place. But you see, faith moved Abraham, caused him to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, caused him to offer his son. God was pleased with the obedience that was demonstrated by Abraham's willingness to offer up Isaac on the altar. Faith enables you to wait. I don't know about you, but this is one of the toughest parts of faith, as far as I'm concerned. You know, what you'd like to do is say, all right, Lord, I trust you. Here's my prayer. Here's my request. And I hope, well, I can wait till tomorrow, but when I wake up in the morning, I hope the answer has come. But it often doesn't work that way because God's timetable is not exactly the same as ours. It caused Abraham to wait. Sarah got impatient and suggested that he go into her handmaid Hagar. And Ishmael was born. And when we take matters into our own hands and fail to wait upon the Lord, we complicate things. We don't make it better. So Abraham, living a life of faith, learned it was not only to pack up and move when God said move. It was not only to follow him when he didn't know exactly where he was going, but to follow anyway, but it also meant that there were times he had to wait. Isaiah chapter 40, reading in the 30th verse, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." How is it with you? Do you have a little difficulty in waiting? Do you get impatient? Do you murmur? Do you begin to doubt and fear? In all of those cases, you have to come back to say, "Lord, I admit I'm weak." The young men, at times, he says, will faint. And I feel to be faint, and I'm not doing very well. But I'm asking for your help. You've promised to give strength, and I look to you as my source of help. A third thing, though, about faith is that faith stirs you to work. Faith is not a substitute for action. It doesn't mean that because you're trusting God, you're allowed to become lazy. Back in Hebrews 11, verse 7, it says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Now, when God warned him that there was going to be a great flood come, and he was aware that he had found grace in the eyes of the Lord, he might have reasoned, "Well, since God has singled me out and bestowed his grace upon me, I haven't got anything to worry about. I don't see any need of building a gigantic boat out here on dry land and being the laughing stock of the neighborhood." But Noah was a man of faith, and God told him to prepare, and he prepared. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Verse 29 gives us another example. "By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned." God provided a way, rolled back the waters of the Red Sea. But God said, "All you got to do is march. Just march across." Didn't have to do much, but they did have to march. That was an act of obedience. That was a demonstration that they were trusting God. They were depending upon him. See the same thing? Verse 30, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. God says, "I'm going to give this city into your hand." Somebody might have argued, "Well, I don't feel like walking. I'll just stay home and praise God that he's going to give us the victory." That's not what God said to do. God said, "March. March around the city one time a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, go around 7 times. After 6 times on the seventh day, somebody might have said, "This is ridiculous. I don't even see a crack in the wall." But they had to go 7 times on the seventh day, and then God called the walls to fall down flat. They had to do explicitly what God said. That wasn't a plan that any military leader would ever have recommended. Nobody would ever have suggested, I think the best way to take this city is to march around the wall. But you know what made it a good plan? It was God's plan. And when we start trying to come up with plans of our own instead of relying upon God and his power, we get into trouble. Faith moves us to obey, to work, to do what needs to be done. Chapter 9, the 10th verse. "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." In other words, with what time you've got, do what needs to be done. Whatever thy hand findeth to do. If it's a good work, if it's a godly thing, then be busy about doing it. Chapter 11, verse 6. "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they shall both be alike good." So you can't expect to reap the harvest if you don't sow the seed. So he says, You sow the seed in the morning and in the evening. You don't hold back. You don't say, I don't think it's a good growing season. I'm not going to do it. You do exactly what God directs you to do. And finally, faith causes you to look to the future. Things are never going to be perfect in this life. And it's good for us to remember that whatever we may be struggling with at the moment is temporary. Nothing here is permanent. The heavy burden we carry, the perplexity that we have, the frustration we have, the difficulty we're encountering, the sickness we're going through, whatever it is, it's temporary. And the thing that really kept Abraham on course was that he was looking ahead. Hebrews 11:10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. If you forget that, if you think everything that's important is right here, right now, you'll be stressed beyond measure. But when you understand, I'm just passing through. I'm just a pilgrim here. I'm pressing on to a better place. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And if truly they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. No greater remedy for discouragement than looking to the day when you'll be at home with the Lord. Not to be focusing on our struggles and on our uncertainties, but as Abraham of old, let us walk by faith. So we see that faith not only will move us to obey and enable us to wait when that is necessary, but stirs us to the work that is before us, and then gives us that great joy to look to the future, to know that there is that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. If you would like to get this complete message on CD, request it when writing us. And until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.